Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm sitting here with Michael Patrick Hanford.
Hello!
And Timothy Jordan Kalpakis.
What is up?
Jordan?
Jordan, like MJ, baby. The dunker!
TJ.
Ooh, swish!
That must have been in the 90s. Being a 90s kid, as you are, Tim, that must have been so cool to have the middle name Jordan.
It led to a lot of confusion. People would confuse the two of us quite a bit. Hey! Jordan, shouldn't you be at the Space Jam premiere? No, I'm but a boy. Oh.
I'm just a boy. I don't even play basketball. I don't even own a basketball. Really? Michael Jordan doesn't own a basketball? I'm not Michael Jordan!
I probably never owned a classic orange basketball. I had like, you know, my really? House, I lived out in the, you know, in a rural area in upstate New York. So we had like a shed full of all sporting crap you could ever want. But we weren't a basketball family, so I had a lot of like glow in the dark basketballs and small basketballs that you could palm and all kinds of things. But I don't think I ever owned one official.
Yeah, like comedy basketballs.
Yeah, because I'm a I grew up to be a comedy writer, so my parents wanted to set that going early on.
They were all goof basketballs.
We had a basketball in our garage that was like very smooth and very hard. It was like the old basketball.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not thinking of a bowling ball?
Yeah. I'd throw this basketball at a pin.
I remember doing, I played like hockey and soccer and football as a young boy. But I went to one basketball practice, and you know how practices, we've talked about it in reference to like instruments, how there's some teachers that can make it no fun, but if you show a kid like power chords, then they have fun on their guitar and they stick with their instrument. I remember with basketball, like fucking fourth grade or something, I went to the first practice and we were in the gym, and the coaches had set up like stations where you wouldn't, like, you know, I wanted to just like shoot the ball at the hoop kind of. They had set up all these stations where you learn different fundamentals. And the first one I walked up to was, there was a coach like, okay, here we're going to, he took a small group of the kids because there's like 50 kids. We're going to pivot. Everyone ready to pivot? And they gave you a ball.
God.
You plant 1 foot, you know, because you're trying to not like double dribble or whatever. So you plant one foot and then you move your other foot around, but you got to keep that 1 foot planted. And he's like, we're pivoting. And I was like, fuck this. I'm out.
This
like,
sucks.
I truly don't think I made it past pivot. I was like, I'm going to call my dad. This shit sucks.
Oh man,
I am not gonna do this.
Tim, are you wearing a basketball jersey?
Weird. What are the odds we're talking about?
Yeah, I'm wearing Jaguar basketball.
This is definitely from a Birthday Boy sketch at some point. I don't know why I would have it's like a penny.
It looks reversible.
It is. It's white on the inside, maroon on the outside.
Ooh.
That's the thing about pivoting is like I get like that makes no sense. Like I don't. Nobody pivots when I watch basketball on TV. It's like, of course they are, but the kids aren't told, like, hey, this is a big part of the game.
Yeah. MJ had 1,000 pivots. Well,
and you don't see the Air Jordan logo. It's not his silhouette doing a pivot.
I know. A pivot.
And there was no dunk station where they show me how to dunk.
Right.
Dude, yeah, of course. That's like karate too. Like, I already know how to not punch somebody.
Yeah. I remember doing a lesson of one karate lesson and just like we learned the stance in the hour we were there, learned the stance and the punching. And that like was that. That was it. And I wasn't hooked. And my mom asked if I wanted to keep going. I said, I don't think so.
That's a great way to dissuade kids from getting into karate is send them to one lesson where you keep your fists like balled up at your sides and you just punch straight out like a dork.
Yeah.
Like a dork.
I did have, for some reason, I got a white belt. I got to keep the white belt.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Nice, dude. I'll wear it down the street sometimes and people are like, whoa, sorry, sir.
Right this way. Don't completely chop me into oblivion.
You have one lesson more than I've ever had, so you might know how to but you gotta be patient with it too and use it just so.
I feel like we've touched on this before, but just how disrespectful it is for our generation of dumb American boys that we just thought we could do karate. it's this martial art that you train your whole life. And then, but like, I just thought like karate chop, badoosh, gotcha.
Right. It like takes so much training to get to the level that you would see in like Ninja Turtles cartoons or whatever.
And I just thought I was there. I was like, I'm a ninja.
That's a way of life for me too.
I'm pretty sure I'm a ninja.
Ooh. You guys seen the Ninja Turtles movie that's been out for a while?
You know I have. It's great.
It's fucking good, man. I was laughing my ass off.
Were they doing, is it the vintage sense of humor? Like, is Michelangelo being very Mikey?
No, not really.
A little bit. They're actually teenagers. Hmm. And when I'm...
So they're just looking at TikTok on their phones the whole movie? What the fuck?
I mean, they use phones. It was like very modern. But anyway... As I was watching, I was like, oh, yeah, a big part of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is they're teenagers instead of adult voices who eat pizza the way I was used to it.
Yeah, true. I saw a bunch of stuff about Seth Rogen saying like, yeah, the teenage part seemed like relatively unexplored for this thing that's been out for 30 years.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
It's a smart thing to throw in there because we can't tell when you're looking at muscly humanoid turtles. They could be any age, but if you tell a kid... that they're watching a teenager, like when you're 10, there's nothing cooler than an 18-year-old, you know? And when you're 8, there's nothing cooler than a 16-year-old.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And when you're 32, there's nothing cooler than a 50-year-old.
It just keeps going.
I'm 40 and I'm like really geeking out over 48-year-olds right now. I think they're so cool.
That'd be funny if there's like a guy who's what's the oldest person in the world, like 110? He's like, I don't think anybody's cool.
Oh, come on. He just thinks of imaginary cool guys that are 118.
To me, it goes all the way around, and I think a baby's cool. It goes all the way around, sir.
For me, it goes all the way around.
All the way around.
It goes all the way around.
Okay, fine. I think a sequoia tree is cool. Okay, those are 500 years old, sir. I can't win.
Well, keep in mind, my brain is not all there. Okay, fine. Well, get the fuck out of here, you old geezer.
Oh.
Oh, man.
You old Weezer geezer. Get you a hug.
Of all the Weezer songs to sing, an album cut from Pinkerton.
Also, the way he wagged his finger like an old man, that really sold me on that.
That was an acting move for me to get me into the voice.
Get you finger wagging. All right. Do you guys feel caught up with your boys?
I feel good and caught up. Now we can move on in our journey.
Yeah, sure. Oh, also, I'll say that it was very charming how Donatello's, whoever played Donatello, they found him like firmly in the grasp of puberty. His voice is cracking the whole movie. Yeah. It's very funny.
There was a moment in the movie, I won't explain the whole movie, but the four turtles are like just kind of hanging out doing something. They're talking to April and all four of them are being like silly teenage kids.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh man, that is exactly how teenage kids act. They just like all go off at the same time and they're excited about
talking over each other, showing off and stuff.
Yep. It was good.
Enough turtle talk, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time for booze news.
Hit it.
What is up, Tim, Mike, and Jefferson D? What you gonna drink this ep? Can't you just tell it to me?
It's booze news.
What is up, Tim, Mike, and Jefferson D? What you gonna drink this ep? Can't you just tell it to me?
It's booze news. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Theme from Sloppy Shack was sent to us by Red, a.k.a. Danny Noonan, on the Discord. How appropriate.
That's great.
Subscribe to our Patreon if you want access to the Discord so you can chop it up with Danny Noonan and the other slopheads. And if you have a booze news theme, email it to the sloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
Damn, that was good. I'm not used to being called Jefferson.
Jefferson D.
Not in the modern era. Not unless I'm in deep trouble.
I feel like I used to call you Jefferson a lot. Now you, these days, you're Dutz. Or my little Duddy buddy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
The JD.
Very few people will insist on, no, I like Jefferson.
Well, I remember you saying that your mom, back like when you were like a but a yeah. church boy, people call you Jeff and you say, yes. His name is Jefferson.
I would get a phone call and they'd say, hey, is Jeff there? And I would hear her say, his name is Jefferson. Oh, mortifying.
Is Jeff there? It's Raph. I want to see if he wants to meet up with me, Mikey, Donatello, and Leonardo.
Donnie just fixed the pizza thrower.
I love in this song, though, I love how Tim, Mike, and Jefferson D. As lyricists, the three of us know the feeling of trying to get something to fit. And you're like, I could call him Jeff Dutton. Yeah. No, I'll call him Jefferson D.
When something fits, that when you're writing a song or a parody song and something fits, and you're just like, oh, awesome. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. I don't have to make some weird phrase.
It's the best.
going back to Jefferson, I was, we all know Ben Axelrad, yes. Buddy of ours.
Sure, friend of the pod.
We were, actually, we saw the Turtles movie together, and we were walking around in outside the theater, and this guy walked by who was like taller than you, Jeff, thinner than you, but like had longer blonde hair, and like, I pointed him out to Ben because I was like, hey, look, it's Rich Jeff Dutton, because he had like linen pants on and like nice sunglasses and a nice like blue kind of flowy shirt.
Did you snap a pic?
No, I tried to. But Ben was like, that's a guy who really should be called Jefferson Dutton. He like put the Jefferson in Jeff Dutton.
Ooh, he lives up to the name.
You bequeath the name to him.
Here you go. You've earned it.
I've been doing that a lot. I've been seeing a lot of versions of people that I saw.
You saw a fake out Dave Ferguson. Yeah.
This guy was so close to Ferg, I couldn't believe it.
That was great. I saw a fake out Ferg the other day, and I wanted to take a picture so I could text it to you guys on that same chain. And then this guy kind of clocked me, getting a little too excited to see him and turning around with my phone. And I had to act like I was just checking my stocks. They're up.
Down. Oh.
You guys want to hear today's booze news?
Yes, please.
Sent to me by Danny T on Instagram. This is a recent article from the New York Times.
Oh.
The new look in cocktails.
Oh.
Layers and stripes.
Really?
Layers and stripes in cocktails.
So not on the runways of Milan.
No, that's all checkers and polka
not
dots.
Not in your wardrobe, but in your glass?
In your liquid, shape-shifting liquid drink, layers and stripes.
Yes, in your wet, wet, watery receptacles.
Before you go on, Tim, how many of you remember 1-2-3 Jell-O?
Not me.
I can picture it, but I don't think I've ever had it.
It was Jell-O that had three layers.
Uh-huh.
A classic Jell-O, like a lighter version, and then like a foam on top. It was like
three
layers of Jell-O.
Foam. Like a pudding, you mean? Or like a flan?
Like a meringue up top. Tim, go ahead.
Is it something that you liked or it just existed? Or was it big in the Dutton household?
I remember wanting it and then tasting it and being like, I think I just like Jell-O.
Mom, I think I just like Jell-O. I thought you would, Jefferson, so I got you orange.
Yeah, you texted it. You looked up at your parents. You said, Mom, Dad, this is a fail.
Post your L, Dad.
No flying the W for you.
Oh.
So this is Layers and Stripes. Are you guys seeing this? Because I feel like it is ringing a bell. We're talking about floaters.
Oh.
And we're talking about sinkers. Sinker is when you pour some of the heavy thing that sinks down to the bottom of your drink, like a tequila sunrise.
Yeah, the sinker doesn't get the love that the floater gets.
Yeah. Hey, here's a heavy, dense thing. Check it out.
Can I get a Coke with a whiskey sinker?
Ooh, this sinker is a stinker.
It's the same thing, just like you're pouring the Amari or whatever is in. If it's heavy, it goes down the bottom. It's a sinker. If it's light, it stays up top like the Grand Marnier in a Cadillac margarita. That there is a floater.
Mm.
But I'm looking at this. The article is, it lists a bunch of places in Brooklyn. It mentions Bad Roman in Manhattan. And then all across the country, we're talking about hip spots and brunchy drinks and stuff, flashing colors and stripes and gradients. Jeff, you're a fan of the gradient.
Mm. Oh, I love a gradient. Ooh, I love a gradient.
You think a tequila sunrise is in this world?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, Mike.
Nice. Yep.
I mean, I think that's kind of the OG. And then these are all the drinks mentioned in the article are sort of like new concoctions, but it feels like the tequila sunrise is like almost like the icon that you're chasing.
The North Star.
Ingredients. Mm. Mm. But it made me also think about our beloved Bramble.
Oh my God!
No. How the hell?
What in the fuck?
What's the meaning of this intrusion?
Okay, for the listener, Mike Mitchell just came into the chat. This is unprecedented.
Holy
You think
shit.
You can record an episode about Mai Tais without Mai Tai Mitch?
Damn! We told him last episode, we said Mitch was the guy who, when I think of Mai Tais, he's a ordering guy.
And we got a lot of heat for not bringing in Mitch last episode. And here we are.
Really?
We got lambasted in the press.
You think your boy's not going to talk about Mai Tais for a few minutes with you?
For a few minutes. No, stay the hour.
Just a few minutes.
I was told just a few.
49?
Maybe a little less.
As I live and breathe, we got Twisted Metal's own Mike Mitchell right here.
That's right.
Wow. Congrats on the show, Mitch. You're a star.
Thank you, Catman.
Yeah, congrats on the show. You're great on it.
And let me tell you, if there was no Mai Tais in the post-apocalypse, I wouldn't want to live. That's how I feel about him.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Oh, this is a post-apocalypse?
Yeah, people who don't want to even look at the trailer poster.
All right, that's fair.
I was going to say it would be weird if there was an apocalypse and there were Mai Tais. And if that were the only drink that had survived is a very complicated old tea.
Tim, drink. You know that it's an easy drink to make. It's not that hard.
Mitch.
Well, do you, in your liquor cabinet, actually for you, I've been in your kitchen. It's a counter. It's a corner of the counter with a lot of great liquor options. Do you have like Curacao, and does the fridge have Orgeat? Do you have all that
How
stuff?
Do you do it? Because there's a lot of different ones.
The one that I've probably, have you gotten into the talk of Mai Tais yet, or am I jumping the gun?
This is the second episode of Mai Tais, so because we did one last year.
Oh, what
now,
the
now,
fuck?
Last week, and now we're doing a new variation on it. Not new, but just different.
Last week we did the classic. We used the International Bartenders Association recipe. And then we were like,
it was like Trader Vic style.
It was Trader Vic style. And then we were like, hey, maybe next we'll do the Trader Vic original. And then we looked up and we're like, no, it was pretty much that is what we did. So we're about to do the Don the Beachcomber original, which is because they had a rivalry, but this is an entirely different ingredients. But I think when people say Mai Tai, they're thinking of the Trader Vic one with Orgeat and Curacao and all this.
And
stuff.
I got that dry Curacao, which is great. There's like a specific.
You're making them at home, Mitch?
Yeah, I make them. Wow. I can make them at home. I can make them pretty decent.
I did not expect that.
I've got a bunch of different rums. Catman, you saw a few of them when you were. Catman's got the Mai Tai eye. That's what I call it. He's got a Mai Tai eye.
Yeah, you can see it when you look at my face. Prowling the room. Mai Tai.
You saw the rums on my table. Actually, you know what? I should go see what I have, and I'll bring back. I wonder if I have successful ingredients for a Mai Tai. I'll be right back. I'm going to check.
Successful.
Let's see. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, we got to wrap up booze news. All right, that's it for booze news.
Great. Also, Mitch, that was it was so funny. You said, okay, I'm going to go to my get into the kitchen and get my rums. You left up. You're sitting on your couch. You left out the screen one way. And then you're off the screen, and then 2 seconds later, you were behind the couch walking, and you did a full pass through the frame again. Because the way your sectional couch works, you had to walk away from the kitchen, go behind the couch, but it was a real cartoonish like pass by, like you were gonna do an Austin Powers bit, like a canoe bit back there. Somewhere.
Who, first of all, who sanctioned this Mitchell coming on the show? What is this?
Ooh.
Mitch, you were angrily trying at just random video conference rooms until you found our meeting. Right?
I've been in a bunch of Zencaster rooms.
They're like, no, we're making the Scorpion here. Oh, fuck. Cool. Sorry. Right. I'm looking for the Mai Tai.
I was at the Cat Ranch for a second.
Oh, yeah. All the different podcasts. You stopped by Smartless.
Yeah, I was on Smartless. I was on WTF. I was on the Joe Rogan Experience for a
while. JRE.
That's big.
And let me tell you, he's got some good ideas.
Wait a minute.
I grabbed every Mai Tai related booze, except I left some Meyer's Dark Rum over there.
Ooh, that's amazing.
I didn't grab every single bit of booze, but I
all right, real quick, Mitch, what are you watching?
Honestly, just in the background, I'm not watching it as Zombieland 2 Double Tap.
Okay, just for my view, it looks exactly like you're watching it because your eyes are going back and forth on a screen behind your computer.
And it's flashing on
your
face.
I'm not watching it, but it does add light to the room. It just was on in the background on mute.
I know, I'm fucking with
you. And this is the post-credits. Al Roker has just turned into a zombie, and Bill Murray is fighting zombies.
Oh, they got him back.
Well, I'm sorry I asked. Keep going.
They got him back.
He came back for... Oh, Jeff, I didn't know. I thought you were saying, like, he's back. He's like out of trouble.
No. He's still in trouble.
Because it was like a cameo in the first one. It's weird to then have this surprise cameo be like, yeah, and he's in this
one. Yeah, he's at the end of two, I believe. I mean, from what I'm seeing right here, it looks like he's... if my eyes aren't deceiving me, it looks like...
They got him for more than a day.
Spoiler alert to Bound.
This is a big... Murray is like really fighting zombies here at the Garfield 3 premiere or something.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I got some boozes here. This is Tim. I think you're gonna like some of these.
What about his friend Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff and Mike Hanford don't have to worry about it. But Tim should be.
I told you, Tim's got the Mai Tai eye.
Oh, Tim's the chugger. Tim's got the Mai Tai.
Tim does
eye.
This. You're such a fan of Tim. You looked up to him in college, and now it's this.
We did it. Well, I didn't know Mitch in college, but he knew of me because I was sort of a big man.
And it's lasted all this. Tim, is it okay if I have this type of booze in my liquor cabinet?
Hey, well, you know what you got?
What?
Brown eye.
What does that mean?
Eye for shit?
It means butthole, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think we all got that.
Mitch, you're still very loud. Can you turn down just a little bit?
I came down a little bit.
What a fancy mic. Oh,
look
God.
At that microphone. Look at that. It was all like touch.
This is a Shure microphone.
Ooh. I'm sure it is.
Mike Shure.
Yeah.
It's hard to, if you work in show business, there's Mike Shure, there's Shure mics.
It's gotta
weird.
Be confusing for certain people.
Did it come down when I did that?
It did.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
Mitch, tell us, before you show us the rums you have, you said you didn't bring Myers over. Me and Jeff were just talking Myers earlier today. What do you think of Myers Dark Jamaican Rum?
I like it. Were you guys bad-mouthing it? Because I think it's great. I mean, look, with your topper, this is your floater in the Mai Tai, right? With your dark rum.
That's a go-to floater in a lot of things for me.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm thinking about the classic Mai Tai, some of them don't even call for... I call myself the Mai Tai guy. Now I'm asking you guys questions. A lot of them don't even ask for the floater, right? Like, that's only in some of them.
Yeah, last week's I didn't think had them.
No, but all the recipes we're seeing across the board have two rums. One's gold, one's dark. So there's always dark in the mix. That's not even true of last week. So I'm talking about my ass. But I quite commonly see the dark floater on top, Mitch, but it's not in either of Trader Vic or Donna Beachcomber's original recipes.
Look, a floater with rum, not too bad.
a floater when you go into the bathroom. Ugh.
What do you care worst. What it's doing in there?
No, that's the worst.
Once it's outside of you, why do you give a shit?
Why is it? What's with a floater? What happens there? It's like you had too much cotton candy.
Yeah, you had
too much air. Cotton candy. Or eat too much helium.
Mitch, what if I could just swing this away from the turd talk and into back to the Mai Tai, when did you start drinking these? What's your history? When did you say, oh, this is a Mitchy fave?
Look, I drank illegally when I was younger, but having like a mixed, I think that there was a combo of a thing of like my mom and dad being like, try this tropical drink and being like, oh, this is like, I don't like booze when I'm little, but this is like close enough to something I like. And then as soon as when I was like 21 or look, everyone's first introduction to Mai Tais is like more like a jungle juice, right? That's like the gateway.
I was picturing like you were on vacation somewhere and tried one. I was like, ooh, I'm going to see if these are around in my real life.
I think that was Hanford probably. Like I went to Aruba when I was a senior in college, and I feel like I had some Mai Tais then and liked them. But I always liked rum. I was always a rum. I've always been a big rum fan. I think it's my favorite booze.
That's good. Yeah.
Nice. Does anyone ever do rum shots? I guess there's like rum types of rum, like mixed shots or something.
Yeah. I like feel like college kid, like idiots. Yeah.
But you don't just like, give me a shot of rum.
Captain Morgan's was big.
There was sort of a Bacardi era when we were in college. Around the time of that song, it was like, girls are on the way, where the Bacardi at? Hey, where's the Bacardi at? But I don't feel like people do. Rum and gin are not shot shooters.
I feel like gin, even maybe I would have a shot of more when I was young. Like, I feel like that's funny to say because I feel like I wouldn't know. I would love to see what I ordered in college. I'm sure that I ordered shots of bullshit like that. But vodka and tequila and whiskey.
Yeah, vodka shots, I feel like were more like my first introduction of shots. Is like, ugh. We got vodka, one of the cheapest things.
But I like, Mitch, speaking of you ordering things and bringing it back to the Mai Tai, you as a Mai Tai enthusiast, you're pretty bold about ordering Mai Tais. Like, I order a Mai Tai at a tiki bar, and it's my favorite tiki drink, and I order them a lot. I feel like I've been sitting with you at a normal restaurant, and then it's just, there's no cocktail menu. And they say, sir, Tim, what would you like to drink? I said, I'll have a Budweiser. And then, Mitch, what would you like to drink? And you go, do you do Mai Tai? And I've seen you get them made for you. At Bird's, a chicken restaurant. they've made you like a big orange juicy juice bomb Mai Tai.
A rooster walks across the bar with a drink on its back right up to Mitch.
That's what, for people who didn't go to Bird's, that was their thing. They had live roosters delivering
servers.
There's feathers in this damn drink.
Tim, you're right. I'm not a I am not a Mai Tai snob. I'll try any attempt of it at a Mai Tai because that is basically, you know, the break. And probably the Mai Tai that I tried first is like one that had orange juice in it. You know, like there's that. Those are also technically, I guess, Mai Tais of like orange juice and what? Pineapple juice and rum and
lime.
That's probably what made me fall in love with it.
A lot of house Mai Tais. Yeah. Places will be like, there's our house Mai Tai and then our Trader Vic, and the house usually has pineapple juice in it or orange juice or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? The house always wins.
Okay. Yeah.
No, he's right.
Hell.
Yeah. And when it comes to Fox on Thursday nights in the early 2000s, house always wins.
The demo
the demographic.
Tim and I were running around that Fox lot back when the house was king.
House was king.
Yeah, I met Hugh Laurie because I brought James L. Brooks's script to him for him to read, and then he went in his trailer and he was like, I'll be right back. And then he came back in like 10 minutes. And I was like, dude, you didn't fucking read the whole feature. You just read your lines. Get your little British butt back up there and read the whole thing.
Did you know I was a sketch comedian before this? I'll tell James, okay?
And for me, a house truck, a truck from the show House delivering a piece of medical equipment, I think like an MRI machine that they used on, they used like real medical equipment, tore off my bumper. And then it was in my car for like a year, if you all
remember.
That's
what that was?
Yes.
I do remember that.
You used to have
that,
your bumper in your car, in your back seat for a while.
Yeah, that's it went from the back seat basically into the front seat. It was like, it actually went from the trunk into the back seat, almost into the front seat.
Did they pay for that?
Yeah, eventually, but it was like a huge pain in the ass and cost me money. It was one of those things where it was like, I truly got fucked over bad because of it.
Did it move? Did the bumper move from the trunk to the back seat because there were so many birthday boy sketch props in the trunk that there was no room anymore?
100%. That was I think it was a divider between wigs and wardrobe.
Yeah, that was a black hole of props.
It was a huge pain in the ass, and it took me so long to get it fixed. Of course, and I wasn't. The car was parked when it happened, and then I do remember. I think I kicked Hugh Laurie's ass.
What are you? Yeah. What is the meaning of this?
Ouch! Me, my word.
I'm trying to read a script, young man.
But Tim, I'm with you in the. I mean, my favorite type is like a good tiki bar Mai Tai. And let me tell you, I went to the Tiki Tea recently, and I feel like people can be tough on Tiki Tea and be like, I was with my mom and sister. I mean,
newcomers. Okay.
I even think that Tiki Tea can have days where the drinks are great and then days where the drinks are not as good.
There's too many ways to fuck it up. There's too many stops on the fuck it up train.
Yeah. It's not welcoming.
It's one of the best bars in the world, even though it's annoying to even get into.
Yes.
Well, I just mean a tiki drink in general has so many ingredients that one thing could flip it off.
It's such the gold standard for tiki that my brain doesn't work. Like, I feel like if whatever they do is correct, then I'm just like, I guess I don't like a painkiller, or I guess I don't like a scorpion. Yeah. And then if you don't like the vibe, you're like, I guess I don't like tiki bars. Like, to me, it just is, that's the thing, you know?
But last time I was there, they knocked it out of the park. That's where I got this hat. They really knocked it out of the park.
Anyway,
I went to Tiki No not too long ago, and I actually had a pretty good Mai Tai there too.
I like Tiki No. That's a great place up in the valley, right?
I like it too, but it is so much more of like a bar. It's more of a bar than a tiki bar, I feel like.
Okay.
I'm saying like it is so much more of like a place where like people are going to go in and have beers. And like you can get tiki drinks too, and it does have tiki theme. It just feels like a place where like you're gonna get a lot of.
That's true.
Like if you go to Tonga Room, and is it Tonga Hut? Tonga Hut.
Yeah.
If you go to Tonga Hut and you go to Tiki Tea, those are two places where like
those are the hardcore ones where they don't care about anything else. Yeah.
Yes. Like I don't even know if you can get beers in. In Tiki Tea. I don't think
isn't
can,
at Tiki Tea there's kind of a funny there's thing one, they have there. It's like there's one can of beer that's been there since the 80s, and it's like nobody orders this. Or you have to drink
the price like keeps going up. It's like a can of Corona for $30, and they're like, it's the last beer.
Yeah. I'm getting a Mai Tai anyways, but I like the classic Mai Tai, and Tim and the rest. Mm-hmm. He just has the
thank you.
He's got the Mai Tai eye. Uh-huh.
Who sanctioned this?
It, not even Tim. Well, I guess that kind of narrows it down.
it was you, Mike.
Ooh, dry curacao. Very nice.
Yeah, baby. That's good stuff.
Ooh, I like that. That I like that.
Good. What's the name of that brand? That stuff's so good.
Pierre Ferrand. How do you say it? Here, I'm going to show you a close-up.
Yeah, Pierre Ferrand.
Pierre Ferrand. And that's like, people act like curacao and triple sec are interchangeable, but when you get that fancy dry Frenchy stuff, it really is dry and it really is delicious.
Is it like the way there's vermouth can be dry? Like that same kind of taste? I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, it doesn't taste like vermouth, but it's just dry or less sweet.
Ah.
Remember Pierre Bernard and his recliner of rage?
Yeah.
On Conan.
You had a recliner of rage.
Was that Conan out here in LA or when he was in New York?
No, that was New York. I think that was New York. Dawn of the Dead remake is on Dutz.
Nice.
You got the zombie eye.
Tim doesn't like zombie movies. He doesn't want to watch them.
Tim!
I love zombie movies. Zombie movies are laughably bad.
Last week, I pitched watching Night, Dawn, and Day in October, and they poo-pooed me, Mitch. Can you believe that?
We didn't poo-poo. We said, why don't we do four movies? Just, you can curate.
Tim poo-pooed.
Well, Tim, he's playing his character.
I would have done it if you had pitched a fourth movie, but to say, hey, it's zombie movie month and we're watching three zombie movies all month. Or like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
All right, we'll do four. We'll do four.
That's what I'm saying, Jeff. Just curate a movie month.
All right.
I pitched Hubie Halloween and you shit all over me.
I also can't. Mitch is so loud, I'm turning him down and now I can't hear you guys. I'm cutting over everybody.
You got to keep touching that fancy mic.
It's adjusted itself. It wants me to be louder. There, I turn it down more.
Star of the show.
It's AI, man.
I think that you, Jeff, you could watch all of the Romero. I mean, you could just watch all the Romero.
Yeah, I don't want to watch Land of the Dead.
What about One Cut of the Dead, a new one?
Ooh, that's a good one.
One Cut of the Dead. One Cut is deeper.
Day of the Dead is my favorite Romero. That's the best one. Anyway.
When do they go into the mall?
I used to be a dawn guy, and now I'm a day guy.
Day's the best one.
Yeah, it is. Next bottle, please.
Yeah, next bottle, please.
Next bottle, please.
Angrily. Next bottle.
I got some Orjat. This is from Liquid Alchemist.
Okay, that's Ooh. A good one.
Yeah, baby.
It's not my favorite of all the Orjets I've had, but it's still okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I think in general, it's the nuttier, the better. And you can see by the top of that bottle, the fact that it's congealed a bit, that's a good sign. It means it's a nutty one.
Yeah, we got some nut up top.
Oh, okay. Mitchell.
There's your floater.
We're dealing with some, look at that. It's clear. And then we got some nut right at the top.
Oh, brother.
Oh, God.
That Orjat isn't even open. This man's never made a Mai Tai in his home in his life.
Now, Hanford. I got three different rums, honestly, here.
I'm not a rum guy. Talk to these guys.
You wanted to be included, and now.
Ooh, that one's real nice. Hold it up. What is that?
Ooh, it's got a rope around it.
This is Plantation Jamaican Rum, and this is...
I've heard of that.
This is Jamaica Special Dry. X-A-Y-M-A-C-A.
Right, so this is like a gold or an amber rum. That looks great.
That's cool. It's got like a rope on it.
And it looks like you caught it with a net. Is that how you got it?
Yeah, I caught it with a net.
It comes in a decorative net.
It was floating by your house.
You don't have a lot of snare traps around your house.
Hurricane Hillary, I was fishing for some bottles going by. And this is what I got. I haven't opened this yet. I actually haven't. I have three. I mean, I guess we should probably try. I told you that my plan was Catman. Mm-hmm. When we did the lineup, I told you my plan was to do a Mai Tai tasting, because this is another plantation rum and this is Isle of Fiji, another one I caught in the hurricane.
Looks fun.
Another amber gold fella.
It's a big step up for Fiji. Usually they're just making water, but now they're making amber rums. Those are the only two drinks in Fiji.
He's still got it.
And finally, this is the big one. This is
the big boy.
This is the big one. Appleton Estate 8 Reserve. It's the hard one to get.
Oh yes.
Ooh.
Mitchell throwing down the big bucks for the reserve. Me and Jeff are drinking Signature, which is about half the price of that stuff. That is really, if you want to taste like a tiki bar, that's the secret. Appleton Estates, fancy shit.
I did see somebody was recommending for today's drink Bacardi 8, and I couldn't come across it. I did find Bacardi 10, which I almost got, but I did pivot right back to the Appleton because it's just so tiki friendly.
Pivot like me on the basketball court.
But so people like Bacardi 8, eh?
Well, it said that would be a substitute for it.
It was like a good substitute for this.
For the dark rum?
Yeah, we haven't even gotten into the recipe yet.
Oh, yeah. Let's maybe we should do that. We got to make these things. I want to drink.
Yeah, we got to make them.
I have a whole history of Don the Beachcomber and the drink. Do I do that or do I skip it? Or
you're going to bore Mitch.
Well, Mitch, are you making the drink with us?
No, let me hear. I want to hear.
I know, but are you making the drink too?
Maybe I'll try to make one. I mean, I don't know.
I think your volume's loud because you're shouting.
I need limes, right? That's the big thing is I need some limes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing.
I have lime juice, but man,
perfect.
It's not going to be as good.
No, it's not. But
there you go.
Like roses? Roses like the bottle. Yeah. Hey, that'll work. It'll be like an 80s Mai Tai. That's fine. I want to play for. Okay, I was going to talk for a long time about Don the Beachcomber and Trader Vic and their debacle over who invented the Mai Tai. I'm going to skip it, but I do have one thing I want to play, which is a tape I brought, and this would be educational, and even Mitch will be interested in this 2-minute tape. Hit it.
Nice.
What is up, Calpy K? Here, recording live. On the scene in Hollywood, I'm going to go see where the original Don the Beachcomber was. Right now, I'm standing on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and McCadden. McCadden Place is where the store was. So I'm on the north side of Hollywood. When I look east, I'm seeing kind of like over there would be like Musso and Frank, which you may know from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And this is kind of the stretch that they drive, Cliff Booth and Rick Dalton drive through here. This, like, you would recognize this apartment building. It's a Scientology building, but it's in the movie. I'm across from the Egyptian Theater, and right next to it, Mr. Tempo, which used to be the Pig and Whistle. And below that was Cloak and Dagger, where Middleditch did his swinging. And when I look to the west, I see the center of Hollywood, El Capitan, the Disney Theater, and, you know, where Jimmy Kimmel Live shoots. But directly here on the corner of McCadden and Hollywood Boulevard is none other than a Starbucks, where they sell sous vide egg bites. And, hey, there's a Taco Bell cantina. We should go there for the pod because they serve tequila. Okay, I'm rounding the corner at the Museum of Illusions, which is one of these kind of fake museums nobody cares about. And I'm looking up at McCadden Place. And folks, as expected with everything in LA that is now gone, it is luxury apartments. It says, this is like a big cube, and it says beautiful apartments now leasing.
Whack.
So that's at 1722. There's a little empty lot here at 1720. And then at 1724 is the apartment. So somewhere around here was a dope little hideaway. This is cool because you're very close to the middle of Hollywood during the big Hollywood golden age years, but you're kind of tucked away in a little back alley. And then after 2 years, they moved across the street here to 1727. And that is luxury apartments, beautiful square cube buildings. Nice. And what's so funny about these luxury apartments and everything in Hollywood is, like, I don't care when stuff get, it's like, oh, old stuff goes away and new stuff comes, but who's buying and leasing these apartments? Who, to have enough money to live in the center of Hollywood, but to be stupid enough to want to live in the center of Hollywood takes a real fucking moron type of a person. Okay, back to the studio. So on that very spot in 1933, the day after Prohibition ended, Don the Beachcomber opened the first tiki bar ever.
Wow. Cool.
And now we are going to make his Mai Tai recipe, not Trader Vic's Mai Tai recipe that came out of Oakland 10 years later, but listen to the recipe that came, that his widow eventually shared because he was very secretive. 1 ounce gold rum, 1.5 ounce dark rum, 1 ounce grapefruit juice, 3/4 ounce lime juice, 1/2 ounce Cointreau or triple sec, 1/4 ounce falernum. We have some of that from when we made zombies. It's a classic weirdo clovey Don Beach ingredient. 6 drops of Pernod, which tastes like black licorice. Dash of Angostura bitters. Mint sprig to garnish. Place all ingredients except mint in a cocktail shaker filled with ice. Shake well and pour unstrained into a double old-fashioned glass. Garnish with fresh mint. So it's very different, guys. It's got grapefruit and falernum instead of orgeat.
Fuck, I don't have mint. I don't have mint. God damn it.
Neither do I.
Mitch, I just sent you last week's recipe in case that gets you any closer to the hole.
I think I could make last week's recipe.
Oh, nice.
By the way, just an update. Thomas Middleditch also in Zombieland Double Tap.
Perfect.
And Jeff, they just played the intro to Dawn of the Dead, which is the remake.
The best, it's the best part. Yeah.
What year is that from?
Hanford, I saw the preview they showed the entire intro preview on cable. I believe maybe after like a WWE show.
Uh-huh.
And I watched it in the Emerson Suites in Ithaca with Matt Granum. And I think you came and got dinner with us.
So 2004, maybe? 2003?
That's wild.
Specific memory.
Interesting. What, now, was that the one where they it starts in a mall?
It ends up in a mall. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
A mall Clooney.
Yeah. One of my internships in LA was at Strike Entertainment, which was a short-lived production company, but they have a credit on Dawn of the Dead.
And now you're
striking.
That's right.
Hanford.
It's how it works. It's very cyclical. Very cyclical.
Wow.
I also want to give one shout out to a drink I used to make back in the day. That's probably Mai Tai inspired in a way.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
The Hurricane Mitch.
That's right. That's
I remember that.
What is it? It's orange juice and what? Rum and orange juice?
It's
Captain Morgan's and orange juice, right?
Captain Morgan's orange juice and ice.
That's good.
I can make one of those right now. I got the ingredients.
Hanford, I think you'll love it.
No, that should be its own episode. We should have you back. We'll do that for real.
Yeah, we should do that sometime.
Yeah, that's great.
We'll do another. We go to Mitch's house and get trashed. And
maybe we'll do another lineup, too.
Another lineup? Jesus Christ.
Why not?
Just treating lineups like it's like, yeah, we'll have some Hurricane Mitches. Maybe we'll have a few lineups as well.
I got a friend out here. You guys know him, Tommy McNamara. He listens to the podcast. He's a comedian out here. Funny guy.
Funny guy.
He wants to do a lineup. He's also on my summer basketball team. And we were like, okay, after this one game at, you know, we had a 10 o'clock in the morning game. It was like, let's do it. I got nothing to do all day. And we're like, yeah, okay, great. We're going to do lineups at 11 o'clock in the morning. And he got to the game and I was hungover for the game. And like, he was late and I could tell he had a night out too. And we didn't talk about the whole game. And afterwards, I was like, so what do you think about this lineup thing? He's like, you know, if we didn't do it today, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So we haven't done it yet.
Doing it after some sort of physical activity. And I think it's a good way to do it.
But we were like, we got to go eat like a whole pizza and then go do it. So we were just like on fumes from playing basketball. Also, we realized it'd probably be like $100 at a bar to do one of those.
Yeah, it's not unexpensive.
Unexpensive. All right. Well, should we do it? Should we make it?
Yeah, let's go do it. And folks, why don't you sit tight and listen to these ads and we'll be right back after this.
Does our jet go bad?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from The Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you gotta get something off your chest? You know, you're walking around with something and you go, I just gotta tell someone this, I just gotta fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors, big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me, I've been to therapy, I'm the therapy guy, I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what, and my two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis. I've got, it's weighing me down. What am I going to do? That, of course, is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell a therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So, folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest, have a great time.
And we're back.
Let's see him. Michael,
beautiful,
Michael, get
beautiful.
Here.
Ooh, Dutz.
Iconic. Ooh, Jeff with the garnishes.
Ooh,
looking nice.
Ooh, a little tahini pineapple up top.
Mine looks a little bit...
Ooh. Cloudy. We all look the same. Even though Mitch had a different recipe, we all have sort of a plum-colored, cloudy duck sauce.
Yeah, mine looks like cider. Yeah, duck sauce is the better.
Hey, speaking of duck sauce, I knew that crab rangoon was invented at a tiki bar. It's not like... It's invented at Trader Vic's. It's not an authentic dish, but I just learned that Don the Beachcomber invented the poo-poo platter.
Wow.
Wow, really?
Yep.
That's like solid East Coast Chinese food. East
it
Coast
really
American
is.
Chinese food, or at least from my perspective.
He traveled the South Pacific. Then when he came to inventing drinks, he was kind of biting the planter's punch from Jamaica. But then when it came to food, he was kind of doing Americanized Chinese food. It's a funny amalgamation.
I mean, it's funny too, because I think a lot of us discovered tiki drinks through 100%. Americanized Chinese
yes.
food. Like, there's no real reason why the Maple Garden in Londonderry, New Hampshire would serve Mai Tais, but they did.
Jeff, that's almost every East Coast, not every, but so many East Coast Chinese food restaurants are also tiki bars. That is
carrying the torch for tiki, yeah.
It's funny that it's more that we had that too. Eng's in Kingston was like the old Chinese restaurant, and it had a full tiki menu. But I've read articles saying, like, nationwide that happens. But it is like mostly a New England thing that the Chinese restaurants have the tiki staples.
Yeah, I love it.
Mike's buried in his mobile. Mike's late getting back from making the dream.
Hello.
And now he's looking at tweets and Twitter and everything.
I'm Twittering, and I'm getting on X, and I'm getting on Threads.
If you like tweets, you got to get on X. Hey, did you guys find it weird to shake? I had crushed ice, and it said to shake with crushed ice. When you put crushed ice in a shaker, it dilutes to water.
I heard that too, Jeff.
I heard it too.
Did you guys think it's weird to shit?
I mean, that was my next question. Is it weird to shit?
Yes.
I did it with regular. I shook with regular ice and then poured it into crushed ice.
Yeah, I just did regular.
I got a Mai Tai faux pas. I wasn't able to crush my ice. So I got full cubes.
Me too. Full cubes.
I have a bag of crushed ice, pebble ice in my fridge for this very occasion.
Ooh, Mike, nice garnish. What you got there?
I know I didn't have any mint, but I put a little cherry on top there.
Hanford, yours looks more pink than ours.
Yeah, it's because of the...
this is common on the show, Mitch.
It's because... Because
of the brain size of the mixologist.
It's the ingredients I put in. That's what makes it pink. It's the pink grapefruit. I think I put extra grapefruit juice because I like it.
You mentioned duck sauce, Tim.
Yeah.
First of all, I could drink a whole glass of duck sauce.
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't. But they don't got duck sauce on the West Coast like they do on the East Coast.
Yeah.
It's different.
You got to order some.
Yeah.
In Boston, the duck sauce is from my memory, is more of a
brown,
probably a corn syrup. Yeah,
brown.
Right, but it's not a thick. It's not like applesauce.
No, no.
Right?
I'm picturing like Mott's applesauce.
Oh, okay.
But hey, I don't know. It's just this is again, Maple Garden, Londonderry, New Hampshire.
Out here, what you get is you get the
the pink duck sauce. That's like that's what the it's like a sweet and sour sauce.
Ooh. It's like it's the sweet and sour sauce. I agree, and that's bad. I want the, I want that plummy duck sauce.
Yeah, I want that tan lumpy one.
Plummy ducky.
All right, can we do some sips?
Yes.
Yeah, and let's hear Mitch's review first because he's having a Trader Vic, and then we're having Don Beach.
So I looked at that bartender's the what is that Ooh. Website?
I sent you the IBA list that we've been beholden to for years.
Wasn't that down for a while? Because I was trying to look it up stuff on that and it was down.
It sucks. It's a fake organization, yeah. Fake website. Yeah.
Bartenders have never heard of it.
It's in milliliters, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when you used to go to Van Arsdalen's website and it would say under construction and there was a picture of like a buff construction hunk with his face on it?
He's working around the clock.
It was like that for like months.
Okay, sippy.
Ooh.
Let me tell you, boys.
I'm into it.
Let me tell you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
This is fucking good. Okay,
there you go.
See, Mitch, this is what you could be doing every day if you wanted to. Drinking.
This is good.
This is good, Tone.
Does it have the tiki bar taste, Mitch?
Tim, you nailed it. You knocked it out of the park. You got the Mai Tai eye in the Mai Tai ear.
Good ear.
That Appleton estate is just fucking doing a lot of the heavy work. I got two big league. You know, it's like when you got your MLB team and you got two heavy hitters on there. The offense is going to still be all right, no matter.
Bash
what.
Brothers.
You got the Bash Brothers. So if you got the Bash Brothers. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get some runs, you know. You're gonna knock some runs in, no matter what, even if they're solo homers. And this is even with because I used Rose's lime juice, which is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good lime juice. But I did two parts. I did like 2 ounces Meyer's dark rum, 2 ounces of the Appleton Estate.
Ooh, you made a little stiffy.
And then I did. 1 ounce of the dry Curacao, 1 ounce of the Orgette, and then 1¾ ounce of lime juice. I had no simple syrup, but I think with the sweetened lime juice, I didn't really need it.
That lime juice is sweetened.
Yeah. We kind of had the same conversation last week. It's like, it's enough. It's enough.
And that just adds sugar but no taste, whereas you want the Orgette to be doing the sweetening because it's flavoring along the way.
This is fantastic. I'm like shocked that it's as good as it is.
I know you get the right ingredients. Jeff and Tim, let me see your drinks again.
Brown.
Yeah, okay. See, mine's a little it's a little browner than you might think, but it's got a pinkish
hue. Yours is good.
It's damn good, I'll tell you that. And it's doing its job.
I have the same knee-jerk reaction that I did last time, which was that this tastes like a sneaker upper. Like mm-hmm. It's not pounding me over the head with tiki flavor, and it's not pounding me over the head with like, oh my god, this is strong.
This is dangerous zone.
But you know, it does have the sort of sneaker upper. It's like a Trojan horse in there somewhere.
Highway to the dangerous zone. That's a music bed. Keep talking, Tim.
Okay, keep going. While this doesn't taste like that almondy Trader Vic flavor. There's something else. The twang of this Don Beach drink, it is very good, and it is very complex, and it's very tiki, and it's like that thing where you're like, the Falernum and the Pernod make it just weird enough that you're like, oh, Don, you got me, you brilliant bastard. It's weird in a good way.
Tim, you've got a specific way with words. Twang is just the right word for this.
Much like Dwayne Eddy's guitar playing.
That's right. I like this. I like the grapefruit in this much, much better than last week's drink.
Yeah.
Like last week didn't have grapefruit juice, obviously. And I like the addition. I really do.
This feels more Tonga Room ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tim, this is like, I take a sip of this and I'm in relaxatory confinement.
Ah.
The old birthday boy sketch that we performed once.
That's right. I think it's the second sketch we ever did, maybe.
Yeah, it was
early
on.
Or it's close to it. It's in the first few.
I want to say it was like 23, 24 when we did that, and I had never had a Mai Tai.
I think the second sketch we did, it was a take on that improv show that was on TV called like...
Thank God You're Here.
Yeah,
Thank God You're Here.
Thank God You're Here. And then that was like, well, that show doesn't exist or make sense, so we'll never do that sketch again.
The premise is that Tim got put into solitary confinement, and then a guy, and then the prison guard, who I don't know if I was in this sketch, I think, in some way.
So Tim gets put into like the back door, and the door shuts, and then so you can't see him, but you hear that that song that's like
Sleepwalk by Santo and Johnny. I mean, that was meant to be score, Theater of the Mind, but yeah, the premise is a guy gets put in solitary confinement and he likes it because he's relaxing.
Yes, yes.
And Mitch kept being like, no relaxing in there. And then at one point I was drinking a Mai Tai.
I would love to see the tape of that and the sure confidence I had as that.
Now you're on a sure mic.
I have the tape, and I've been waiting for a good moment to sit down with you, watch the tape, and talk about improvements in your performance. So run it for a second time 13 years later.
13 years, probably even longer than that, is my guess.
October is the 10th anniversary of the Birthday Boys show on IFC.
Ooh,
wow. Yeah, amazing. So it's way more than more than 13 years even that we did that sketch. Probably like
16 years ago.
Yeah, 16
years. 6D. Like, can you believe 10 years since the IFC show? That's wild.
Yeah.
Are we going to do a show to commemorate it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think we got to do a panel show at Carnegie Hall.
Yep.
Bob told me, I had lunch with Bob, and Bob was like, you got to do a show. Do a show. Do a live show. Do one. That's what he was saying to me. He did say right. He should do one.
He's right. He ain't wrong.
And then I was like, what are you up to? He's like, I'm going to go do a show. And then he went to Chicago and he did a show.
A show?
Yeah, that's all we can talk about. Where did you have lunch with Bob? And can I guess, was it?
It was not. crazy enough, we went to the Cuban restaurant.
Cuban Pete's?
We went to Cuban Pete's.
What Cuban restaurant?
And I think I remember his Cuban Pete kept saying "chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom." Shit,
La Floridita?
No, right by Fat Dragon. You know that what I'm talking about in the little
in Hollywood?
Oh, come on! Now you guys are forgetting.
In Silver Lake, by Millie's over there. Yeah,
yeah, right next to Millie's. What is the fuck is the name?
It used to be All Agree. Now it's Cochito.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you get a Cuban sandwich, or what kind of food was it?
Got a Cubano, hey man, you're right.
Nice.
I think that's what it's called.
El Cochinito,
That's what it's called.
Cochinito.
That's what it's called. Had a great Cubano. Do a show. That was his advice.
Yeah, we'll do a show. We'll do a show. Mitch just set that up.
I'll be in it. Oh, you will? Well, he's committing to it now. I'll make a guest appearance. Yeah, you know what? I'll do it. I was a guy who kind of handled that stuff back in the day, if I remember correctly.
Get on the horn.
Organizing emails.
I feel like if we called Dave or texted Dave and was like, hey, we want to do a show. You want to maybe help get that organized? He'd be like, yes, I used to do that a long time ago. I used to help put the Birthday Boys shows together, but that was years ago.
Katie, can I do it one more time? Just one more time.
He pulls out like his old planner and blows it, dust off it.
Yes.
I remember this. Oh, man.
It's going to happen, folks.
Call up Dynasty Typewriter. Call up, we said Carnegie Hall.
Oh, yeah, Carnegie.
Just see what dates they have, Mitch. Call Carnegie and Dynasty and just see what the dates they have.
Bidding War. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Carnegie Hall and Dynasty Typewriter. Just loop them in, put them on an email chain together, take yourself off, have them figure it out.
You fight it out.
Yeah. To email me when you guys have figured it out.
I actually already do have a bidding war, but it's Carnegie Deli and Cats.
We have to work a shift in the kitchen.
Isn't one of those, Carnegie's not around, right?
Carnegie closed, but they still have the fake Carnegie Deli at MSG.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. I got to experience it because of my boy, the Catman, and I went there together. Do you remember that?
That's true. Yeah, we went there. I remember gawking at some guy had the biggest plate of food I'd ever seen. I think it was brisket.
And was it Mitch?
Huge pile. Some guy.
Yeah, he was across from me.
Yeah, it's this guy across from me who I'm talking to right now.
Well, Mitch, now you have to name other restaurants that you went with only Jeff and with only Mike.
Ooh.
Hanford, I think, can go into Raw Kitchen Cafe.
Raw Chicken Kitchen Cafe.
Ooh. That's what I meant to say.
Ooh, that drink's hitting.
It certainly is. And Dutz, I want to...
I know what I'm going to say.
Come on, baby.
Little Jewel of New Orleans?
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking of the one that... This is a more of a birthday boys one, but I was thinking of the one that I went to with you the most, probably.
Paquito?
Which is Paquito Mas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a classic. Oh,
wait, when were you two in New Orleans together?
No, Little Jewel of New Orleans downtown.
It's like a po' boy place. We gotcha. Went there when we couldn't get Howlin' Rays. Was that it? I forget.
I think that's what it was.
I would like to see you two, though, go to New Orleans and see a documentary on that.
Hey, you bankroll it. We'll do it. Your dreams can come true, Mike.
I'll do it. I'll do it. I will do it. I play the lotto every week.
Raw Kitchen Cafe.
Oh. Oh. This guy doesn't cook raw kitchens. He cooks raw chickens in the kitchen.
It still kind of works.
Yeah.
The contents of the kitchen are raw. Mitch, here's a good thing to talk about, because you and I have not connected about this in real life, so it'll be raw talk on the pod.
Raw talk.
Ooh.
Speaking of eating at restaurants, you and I recently ate at the delicious Indian pizzeria Pizza Palace in Silver Lake.
We certainly did. I loved it.
From my point of view, this was on a wild day for me, in which I blacked out, and I don't even mean like, I was an unconscious blacked out guy, and then I came to.
Should we say what the event was?
Yeah, it was a Sloppy Boys listening party at El Cid in L.A.
People handed us a lot of shots on stage. That was
a lot of day drinking.
Well, it's Hanford's fault.
Yeah.
Slop heads were giving you shots left and right. It was crazy.
They really were, but I was taking them all.
It was six drinks in 20 minutes because it was nuts.
And usually toward the tail end of a particularly fun and raucous Sloppy Boys concert, Mike'll say, hey, if you want to get us shots, you can take one with us on stage. But this was a afternoon 2 p.m. industry event. Yeah. We had empty stomachs.
No
lunch. We had not hydrated. I hadn't eaten lunch. And right off the bat, Hanford goes, hey, bring shots up. We'll do it with you on stage. So a lot of shit went haywire that day, to the point where we had to have a band meeting the next day to iron out what actually and put together the timeline of what happened.
Iron out certain people's responsibilities and lack of responsibilities the day of
certain all three of us. But from Mitch's point of view, as an outsider, Mitch, I had had a very wild afternoon. Mm. In my memory, I don't remember talking to you about going to this place, nor going to this place. And I come to at a wonderful dinner with lamb pasta. It was delicious, and curry pizza, and it was so good. Was I talking?
Stu and Madeline. It was the four of us. This is what happened. I remember I got to the Sloppy Boy show. And I talked to Hanford. I was like, Hanford is sure being warm and energetic.
And then, he usually didn't say even hello to me when I see him.
No. And then
I love you, buddy.
And then I like talked to two other people, and then I talked to Hanford again. I was like, oh, he's gone. You were fucking gone.
Oh no.
And then Dutz and Tim, when I saw you, I was like, ooh, Tim's maybe even more in the zone than Handman. Dutz, you were very level-headed of the crew. You were
amazing.
You had it contained.
That's kind of strange, because I also had four or five shots on stage.
But Jeff recently bulked up and got jacked by June, so maybe me and Mike are lightweights and you're the biggest guy now.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, the muscles took in some of the booze. But afterwards, I was shocked because there were people who had been partying all day, and I had only had just a couple drinks, and I want to go to Pizza Palace. And Tim, I give you credit because you're like, I'm in. You're down.
I'm in. So, but when I said that, did you know that you were taking like a catatonic guy? Like, were my eyes crossed?
I didn't know that you were. I didn't know that you were catatonic because it seemed better to me because I saw Hanford fall on his ass like a child near the t-shirt table.
That is because We were taking photographs, okay?
Yeah.
And there was a big group, and I was leaning back on somebody, and they moved, and I tumbled down. That was not because I have a problem.
So they shouldn't have moved.
Somebody near me moved.
Someone near me moved too quick. It threw my balance off.
I literally wasn't saying that because I was saying, like, it literally, like, it was like a child falling on their bottom. You kind of just, like, went straight down.
Yeah.
You could see we posted a picture of that group photo, like, pose on Instagram, and like when Mike fell, and you, if you look at, there's a booth behind us, and if you look down below our friend Andrea, you can see her little boots because she dove out of the way and she was like lying on the ground to get out because the table got knocked toward her.
She said, "He's going down."
You guys were, everyone was having a blast. Everyone was partying. And Tim, we went to the 4100. We walked over there, and we were relaxed. And you seemed with it, and you were with it.
But did you see me? I had our friend Brett and I were having a heart to heart, and I cried in his arms and I sobbed on his shoulder. Did you see that?
I did not see that, but I had a heart to heart with Brett too, and he made me feel great. He's good at that.
Well, oh, wow. Yeah. It's feast or famine with old Brett. Goddamn.
I had a nice conversation, too. I'd say it was a heart-to-heart, but it didn't get too deep.
It was about the atrium and the ventricles of the heart.
Well, no, he's like, is Tim okay? You might need to help him out. I said, he's fine. Leave me alone. He's like, you really got to help Tim out? I said, would you leave me alone?
He's fine. Give me a hand. Pull me up from the ground, Brett.
I've been down here for a half an hour.
Tim, honestly, you were pretty, we went, I was surprised that you, just because you guys have been partying so much, and then you know what? It didn't stop you from eating, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Tim, if you ever had any concerns about your food consumption while drunk, don't worry about it, you're good.
That really puts my mind at ease, because I've been worrying that I will starve while drunk.
Your body goes right back into autopilot.
You the only time, honestly, at the dinner, the only time, because we all got drinks even at the dinner, the only time where I could tell that I was like, it was, we finished dessert and I looked over and you were like wimpy under his tree. You'd eaten your food and you had fallen asleep again.
Back to sleep. Man, in my memory, I was like, I rallied and came back to life, but that's funny that I...
No, honestly, you were pretty good for the whole dinner, and then it was just after eating.
Mitch, you're still... You got turned down even a little bit more, Mitch. I'm so sorry. It's so loud.
It was still impressive.
It got louder when you turned it down.
No, it's good. Yeah.
Is it good? Is it better?
Yeah, it's better.
You did rally quite a bit, and the food was great. I've read, like, people so be mixed good about that place, and that place is fucking great.
An Indian restaurant that specializes in pizza. That's very unique.
It's yes, like Indian American food. That's like a bar. It's
like a sports bar.
Pija, pija,
gg, right? Or jj or gg, jj,
pijj.
Okay.
A.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had heard about it forever. It's like an Indian sports bar and has pizza, but you would assume Indian pizza would be like on naan bread, like a flatbread.
Oh, yeah.
But no, we were eating it. We were saying, this is like Cape Cod bar pie, kind of.
It was bar. Really good. It was like bar pizza.
And does it have traditional Indian food like on it, like the tandoori chicken or the tikka masala?
Yeah, there were curry options and sog options and other. But then who knew that also the pastas... We're talking about like a lamb, kind of like a very gamey, delicious lamb, deep, dark pasta dish. That was amazing. Man.
I go to that Indian food buffet in Los Feliz, kind of near.
I think it's called India Buffet or India's Restaurant.
India's Restaurant.
Yeah.
It's Indian food is one of those things where I don't see it often, so I don't eat it a lot. But when I have it, I'm like, oh, this is it's so good.
There used to be a great place called Cowboys and Turbans. Do you remember that place?
Oh, yeah.
They did a chicken tikka masala burrito that was so fucking good, and they got shut down at some point. But I think it was just like the health board shut them down, but it was so good. I really miss it. So I'm definitely checking out Pizza Palace.
You got to go. We should go there. We got a bar pie that just had like a green sauce on it, right, Tim? It was like kind of like a green curry sauce or something. I don't know what it was, but it was fucking great.
I would get sog is like this is the spinach, right? Was it? But it was brighter green and more pasty, but it was very good. Everything was the right amount of spice. I don't remember ordering my cocktail, but when I came to, I was like, Ooh, this is like a mango. This is like a mango curry cocktail.
You grab Stu by the lapels. You're like, who the hell ordered this?
Because I want to shake their hand. It's delicious. It's funny that I was ordering cocktails while blackout drunk.
Damn. All right. Let me impose a little structure here, if I may. What would you change about this drink, this new version, Mike and Tim?
I think nothing, because if you change it, it becomes a different version of a Mai Tai.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like this is great.
Well, yeah. Why add any orgeat or amaretto or try to do that? Just let it be what it is. And yeah. it's a little pernoty. It's sharp, right? It's astringent. It's got edges to it.
Now, when you go to like Tiki Tea, let's say, and you order a Mai Tai, can you say, give me a Vicks or a Beachcomber?
A lot of times they'll list different ones. Like, same with the zombie. They'll be like, here's our zombie, and then there's the 1934 one or whatever.
Geez, I would be almost interested in going there and doing a side-by-side.
Ooh. I want to do a side-by-side because here's the thing, guys.
And Mitch, you can interject. I wasn't trying to shut you up or anything.
Oh, I did remember a thing Tim did at Pizza Palace.
Okay. Uh-oh.
You did get up at one point and you said, I'm the prince of Pizza Palace. And you took a tablecloth off and put it around like a robe. And you did strut around the restaurant.
That was when I had sobered up a little bit.
He wasn't wearing clothes at that point, so that was probably the best.
It was good that we got something around him,
Yeah, and I remember like the owner and everyone that worked there was like, right, all hail the prince. Absolutely.
Yes.
We were expecting your arrival.
At the Tiki Tea, you might assume they do a Trader Vic's Mai Tai, but the whole thing with the Tiki Tea is the old guy behind the bar, his dad is Ray of Ray's Mistake, Ray Bowen, and Ray Bowen had been a bar back at the original Don the Beachcomber. So they probably are leaning more toward Don Beach ingredients than Vic Bergeron ingredients. We should go taste.
Tim, you're saying that now. I'm like, I'm drinking this Mai Tai, which is fantastic. Way better than I thought it was. When I drink that TT Mai Tai, which I now want one bad, there is like a little bit of fruitiness to it, right? Like there's something
like maybe the grapefruit juice that we're having.
Maybe they put some sort of juice in there. I don't know what their recipe is. I think they do. They list it in the drink menu, but I don't know if that's like, you know, if they're not telling us something too. But it's fucking great.
They better
fucking
tell us.
What are you hiding? Where's Rachel?
You guys, after this recording, you should go to Tiki Tea and drink them up.
Oh. Boy,
you don't have to.
It's closed. It's closed tonight, but we'll go very soon.
Phew! I would have too. Yikes.
Almost had to socialize.
I know, me too. Monday night Tiki Tea.
I'm sure there's other tiki places you guys can go.
Shut up, would you?
Take him out, Jeff. Pick up Mitch and Tim and take him out.
Take him out for a night in the town.
Now, are you more of a Tiki Tea or a Tonga for all of you? Are you Tonga Hut
Tiki Tea.
Or Tiki Tea?
Tiki Tea.
I think Tonga, just because I can get in and out of that place. Like,
yeah, me too.
Tiki Tea, I'm like waiting in line. Last time I was there, I was waiting in line for half an hour. And
come with me.
It's fun, but it's cramped. I've had more fun at Tonga.
And Tonga, you get to wobble across the street to see like grown-ups too.
Yeah,
that is good.
True.
They always play Grown-Ups 2 at that theater.
Mitch, I don't want to make this a big conversation, but have you seen the new Turtles movie?
I have.
It's great. We were just talking about it at the top of the show.
Mitch saw it with me.
I saw it with Dutz.
There you go. It's wonderful, wonderful filmmaking. Animation is back. Animation is fun.
Not enough Krang, though. We could have used some more Krang.
Yeah, we could use. Yeah, what happened to Krang?
He's coming.
All right.
He's coming.
Let's take a little break. And when we come back, final thoughts. Mitch, are you going to stick around? I mean, at this point, I mean, it's up to you.
I'm here. You know what?
We're wrapping it up anyway.
Look, we're coming right back. I looked it up. The Mai Tai at Tiki Tea. Tim, I was right. Sorry, I keep talking to Tim about this. He's got the Mai Tai eye. This Tiki Tea version is made with passion. That's all it says is passion. Which
passion
I'm like,
fruit.
Is there a little bit of passion fruit in there?
Come.
Lime, orgeat syrup, amber rum, and floated with the Jamaican dark rum. And I'm like, there's definitely a little more sweetness in that Tiki Tea.
Okay, so passion fruit syrup or puree. We've had that for when we made the original Hurricane, and it's utterly delicious. And it's kind of having a moment right now in fancy cocktails.
I could see it being in there. There's something.
Well, round two, I'm just gonna freestyle. Since Mai Tai seems so open ended, I'm gonna do me.
Mitai.
I'm still working on this one, but I'm going to splash some orgeat in there and see what happens.
Nice.
I am done. I might do what Jeff does and go buck wild.
All right, folks. We'll see you right back here in a bit.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
And we're back with our final thoughts on the Mai Tai Swizzle. Is that the technical name, Tim?
I think we'll just call it Don the Beachcomber's Mai Tai, but yeah, he called it a Mai Tai Swizzle. Hmm.
All right, I'm going to say it's great. I think I like it better than the last one.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I'm with you, Jeff. I said the last one was a Stone Cold classic, and this is not far off, so I'll say this is a Stone Cold.
Hell yeah.
And
the IBA version needed tweaks, did it not? We all tweaked
that's
it.
True. That's true. I give this one an order again forever.
Mm-hmm. Why was Stone Cold so old?
What? Hell yeah.
I haven't been body slammed. Why is it in years?
Tim, go ahead.
I mean, I liked last week, but yeah, then we had to tweak it a little bit. And I think the thing with last week was we were like, this is a little light. I think that if you use stinkier rums and then use just orgeat and no simple, you'd be better off. I love that. And I love this one. But then in round two here, guys, I just added a little orgeat, just a half ounce of orgeat to the Don Beach. And it just made Earth's best Mai Tai ever. Yeah. It rounded out the edge a little bit. Mm-hmm. It balanced it out. And it's pretty perfect. It's as complex as Don Beach, but as sweet as Trader Vic.
I did a little tweak on mine, too. I thought mine was a little too juicy and sweet. So I made a classic dirty martini.
Ooh, a lot of tweaks. That was pretty severe tweak for round two there.
Yeah, almost nothing in common. Nothing carried over from the last recipe, it seems like.
Yeah, really, nothing. I guess, the shaker. There was a shaker.
Gin instead of rum, vermouth instead of Falernum.
Mitch, what do you feel? What are your thoughts about Mai Tais just in a general way?
Well, Dutz, I'll say this.
We know he likes them. That's why he's here.
They call me Mai Tai Mitch for a reason. I mean, no one has until this day, and it's myself that's been calling myself it. But I call myself Mai Tai Mitch for a reason. It's because I love these things. And also, I think it's a great part of them is that there is a mystery to them, Dutz. You get a Mai Tai that's orange juice, pineapple juice, and rum,
and that's a Mai Tai. And you can get this Don Beachcomber one, and you can get the original Mai Tai, and they all count as a Mai Tai, and they're all great in their own way.
And it gives it there's mystery of like the secret. You know, yeah. Don the Beachcomber, when he got sick of being ripped off, he started naming his he'd like pre-bottle his mixes and put numbers on the bottles. Oh, yeah. So the bartenders in Kaiser Soze fashion,
yeah,
the bartenders didn't even know, because when we made a zombie, ooh, we had something called Don's Number Two.
We had Don's mix.
Oh, that's it. That's cool.
So he had like eight of those mixes, and then he also, so people worked for him and didn't know how to recreate the cocktails after the fact, but it all makes it sort of the curse of the tiki, very mysterious.
Was he kind of like a like an anxious weirdo guy, or was this just like he was getting ripped off so much?
No, cool, laid back.
Trader Vic did rip him off, so he needed to do stuff like that.
Whew. Why was he a beachcomber?
Combed beaches. He like worked on boats, but as like just he wasn't in the Navy until later. But he was just like a trader going island to island, like hustling,
like Benedict Arnold.
I might be an old man Navy guy. I might join up.
Well, Mitch, you could, because the thing Don had this reputation during like after like World War One, but he didn't even serve. But then World War Two. He became, they created a position. He was like the colonel of hospitality or something for the U.S. military.
Wow. They invented it for him.
They'd be like, oh, Truman is going to visit Winston Churchill and they need 40 barrels of rum. Don, what can you do? It's war times. And he'd like go to Jamaica and get rum for them. And like, that was his job.
That's the Sloppy Boys movie.
Yeah.
Don the Beachcomber is like sick for the weekend, and the three of us have to get some booze across the Pacific.
That's super funny. That's like how Elvis was like an honorary DEA agent or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Did they get into that in the Elvis movie? Probably not, huh? That's just like a weirdy little thing.
I bailed halfway through.
Ooh.
Maybe I could be Corporal Podcaster. I could be something like that.
You could be Corporal Punishment.
They're like, quick, the Navy SEALs need a podcast fast. How many forks?
They're bored.
They need you to eat McDonald's.
I love a Mai Tai. I don't think you get, you know, like any, I'm going to like any Mai Tai. I'm going to like the shittiest version of one. I mean, I'm not going to love the shittiest version of one, but I'm going to still even kind of enjoy a shitty Mai Tai. I'm going to really, really love the best version of one. So That's where I'm at.
It's like pizza for you. Pizza, you know, everyone says like there's no such thing as bad pizza. There is, obviously, but for the most part, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm always. I mean, people talk about that. They're like, there's no such thing as bad pizza and bad sex. I'm like, that's not true for either.
Yeah, I was fucking a pepperoni the other day. I couldn't get this thing off. I'm fucking a slice of.
Yes.
Pepperoni?
What? A slice of
slicing wood. Old. I was having sex with an old Detroit slice the other day.
Oh, square pie.
And I couldn't get this thing to come.
Okay.
My vote for worst pizza on earth, I vote Cheech's pizza in Los Feliz, and I still eat it
I don't mind Cheech's.
I still like it. That I think it's
worse than like 7-Eleven pizza.
I see what you're saying.
Yes,
it's still
good. I think it's the worst on earth, but I still will eat it.
Cheech's is pretty bad,
and thank you for it.
Cheech's is like, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's kind of like got a sweet. The crust is sweet.
Yeah, it's like a sweet foamy crust. It's bizarre.
Yes, it's like cake.
Pizza cake.
It's like that BuzzFeed thing. You bite into the pizza and it's cake. What the fuck?
Doesn't this remind you though of being in a tropical locale or in a tiki bar, one of the two.
Yes, we've covered that very much.
It's certainly. Well,
doesn't this kind of remind you of having a Mai Tai in your hand?
I really like though the distinction though, Mitch. Mai Tai, I think, is more a pina colada. I'm sitting out at the beach or on a cruise. Mai Tai, I almost want to be in Detroit on a rainy night, but I step into a little steamy oasis and there's a water feature and I have a Mai Tai.
Isn't that funny?
You mentioned that last week, the idea of like step, like it's like an easy vacation to take in an afternoon or a day.
Get away from your kids, all your daughters. Buy us dresses.
Buy us the latest BTS dress. What?
We're on the rag.
When I take a sip, Mai Tai brings me back to Anytown, USA.
There you go.
Anytime USA, I love it.
It can be anywhere.
Anytime.
Mm.
Any
USA.
Tie. My tie.
I got to tell you guys, I also went to a tiki bar in San Diego when I was just down there.
Mm.
And it was
Test Pilot or no, that's Santa Barbara.
No, not Test Pilot.
The Coconut Club?
Not the Coconut Club.
Hmm.
Not False Idol.
Oh, the Pineapple Palace. Or no, that's more south. God,
yeah.
Damn it. No.
Was it
The Pernod Pit?
Yes, it was the Pernod Pit.
Come down the pit.
I feel like it was it False Idol? Maybe it was False Idol.
Yes.
I think it was maybe False Idol, but that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe it was the Falernum Foyer.
I thought there was a compass in the title.
Oh, you're thinking Broken Compass up in the valley.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm feeling hot in the face.
Me too.
You know?
I'll tell you, I'm feeling hot right under my chin here. I shaved today. And I'm like, of course, I'm sweating like crazy here because I'm so fucking hot. But
did you use your Manscaped products?
I've run out of those. Those were a sponsor of ours way too long ago. I've gone dry. But my fucking right under my chin is like stinging because it's like the salty sweat. Oh,
ooh,
kill me.
Ooh.
Mitch, I see why you keep that beard so much.
It does. It sops up the sweat.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
That would explain the smell of the thing. Mitch, last time I saw you, I hugged you. I thought I was going to vomit. That thing is what? So gross.
What the fuck?
I'm kidding.
Hanford,
I'm kidding.
Rude and crude
well,
to our
Mike,
guest.
Mike, the problem is the way you hug. Usually you go one side or the other, but you hug him dead on and you bury your nose
in his
beard.
I go right up under the chin. I said, this guy has got to get the sweat out of here.
You say, where's my eye line? I'm going in. Straight.
No, I'm kidding. That was supposed to be more of a dirty beard joke. Yeah, you take that out, Wolf. It wasn't that good.
No, keep it
I
in.
I like it. Keep it in. It's good.
Also, I think everyone knows this, but Wolf is our new editor. He's doing a great job. So when you hear us say, take that out, Wolf, and it stays in.
And to all the listeners, if you hear an episode and it's a nice tight edit, you got to go, ow, ow, ow,
yeah.
The wolf.
The wolf dead. Oh, God, we're going to get litigated.
It was False Idol. That's the bottom. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It was a blast.
Oh, yeah, the Mango Mansion is a little north of that place.
Right. The Mango Mansion.
When we were in that bar at the end of the night, you had a great comeback, but it looks like you were in the back of a flatbed truck at the end there. But just for the very last 2 minutes we were there. But I'll tell you, at False Idol, I was there with Fran and Neil and Weiger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because you did Amelia. Doughboy. You did Sombrero on Doughboys.
Yes.
We did Sombrero, and then we went there afterwards.
She brings me Mexican food from Sombrero just because.
Do you know that I'm the only person who didn't know that song. I don't know if I've ever heard it before.
Really?
I don't know if I must have heard it at your guys' house at one point.
And Mitch, and you're one of the coolest dudes.
I know. I don't get it myself. I'm thinking about going up to the Gorge for Dave Matthews for a 3-day Dave Matthews weekend.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Dude, I'd do that. The Gorge is cool. I've always wanted to see a show at the Gorge.
It might be a pain in the ass.
Get one of those tricked out Sprinter vans with a bed in the back and take it up there and camp out.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be fucking cool. Take these two with you. They'll love it.
Dutch, you like Dave Matthews enough.
Yeah, I do.
I took them to a fish show recently. They had the best time of their lives, they said.
Yeah.
At False Idol, I had a Scorpion Bowl, which was great, and a Mai Tai, and one other drink, and I was as cross-eyed as...
You had a Scorpion Bowl to yourself?
No, I shared it, but I was as cross-eyed as a Sloppy Boys release party. Yeah.
we need to work hard to change that look. That's a bad look.
That's an okay look.
It doesn't have to be you. It can be fun, and people are enjoying themselves. There's nothing wrong with that.
Scorpion Bowl is a Trader Vic creation, and that's what we drank those at the Cantiki the night we got Super Blotto. And Mitch, I believe you drove me through Del Taco that night.
This is the night we famously found a mystery chest of iced cold beers.
Oh, the chest.
Yeah.
Oh,
fresh
yeah.
Coors Lights, and we chugged them, and it was great.
That was great.
And they're out of business now, huh? Or are they? They're moving. They moved.
A little treasure chest just for us, yeah?
X marks the spot, eh, boys?
Oh, that was so great.
Like, have you ever found a chest and been like, oh, what's in here? And you open up and it's ice cold beers?
Never.
I wasn't there, and I love this story. It's a chest of beers, and it has a very specific picture in my mind. And like opening it up and be like, ice cold beers? Ice cold is the best.
It was like the Pulp Fiction briefcase. It was like, ho!
Normally you find something like that and you open it up and it's like, oh, beers, and they're sitting in warm water and they've been there for like a week.
Yeah.
This was like ready for Duddy.
Freshly packed. And it was in a bar. You're like, these can't be here. We're in a bar. That's where they sell these behind the counter.
This can't be here.
But we just fucking sucked them down. These can't be here.
This can't be
here.
What
was it for? Was it for like a comedy show or maybe some karaoke show or something? It was for something.
Yeah, gotta be.
It must have been a show was happening. Probably not for us.
I'm pretty sure Billy Joel came up after we left.
Yeah.
I think we drank all Billy Joel's beers.
What do you think he drinks? I bet he drinks red wine, huh?
Yeah, bottle of red.
Bottle of white.
There you go.
It's pretty good.
I guess it depends upon his appetite.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys.
We can't leave on a stinker.
We'll cut it. We'll cut it.
Great.
We'll cut off something good.
You here.
You're left on a floater.
A floater?
That floater stinks.
Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And go to patreon.com/thesloppyboys and get the bonus. That's the Sloppy Boys blowout. And the bonus, that's the monthly show, Questions for Lennon.
Ooh. Can I say one last thing?
Fine.
Tiki torches. They're back on the good side now. Sorry.
Who brought them back?
Oof. I'm bringing them back. Now they're good again.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Mitch.
And you mean like in the traditional sense, like white polo, holding the torch, marching around, right?
That's good.
Well, I mean, I'm in a white polo, but I'm saying I'm bringing them back to the great side. Tiki stuff got taken over to the bad side. It's coming back.
It's coming back.
Again.
It's good.
It's great.
2023, tiki torches are back on the good side.
Happy to hear it.
Yeah.
Reclaiming them. Well, this was great. Thanks for listening.
Mitch, thanks for joining us. Also, yeah, we didn't think this would be like a whole episode thing.
It's
what
great.
What a gift. What a treat.
What a treat.
It was fun.
And if you're out there, if you got Peacock, or if you don't have Peacock, get Peacock and watch Twisted Metal. My boy Mitch is on it, and he's crushing it.
That's nice of you to say, because I won't promote it.
You can't.
He won't. He can't. He'll go to jail.
And maybe with the strike, I'm not supposed to promote it either, but you didn't hear it from me, folks.
you didn't hear it from me.
Hey, it was a blast to be here. I got a free Mai Tai out of the whole thing.
Yeah, that wasn't a promo. That's just me talking to my friends saying Mitch is great on the show. That doesn't mean I'm promoting. Don't kick me out of the union, no!
You just watched a show that you liked, and you're just saying that. You're a viewer.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with
Nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with that!
You're just reporting your feelings. That's good. That's healthy.
Hambert, I'm going to go out there with you. I love young Sheldon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mitch. Of which I'm the star. Thank you. It was weird. It was a weird choice, but they have me in a green screen ping pong suit for every episode.
Hambert, look at you. Talking Don the Beachcomber. You look like Mike the Haircomber. Your hair looks nice.
The boy is slick.
It's because I'm sweating
He's
and I'm just
slick
going
with
slicking sweat. It
What if
back?
There was a
I'm
bar
so
called
hot.
Mike the Haircomber and you're like, what the fuck? You walk in, the bartender has his hair combed. You're like, oh,
that's Mike.
Hey, we're going down to Mike the Haircomber's. Why are you going there? Everything else is too full.
You'll find out.
Every sip you take, you're like, a little piece.
A little bit of hair.
A little short and curly. He combs his pubes, too.
We have a few menu items. We got chicken, air fried chicken. That's a little tender.
A little purple.
I want to say this before we leave. The Beachcombers, the original name of the band, The Who.
No shit.
Wow.
I thought they were called the Detours.
Look at Mr. Knowledge.
We won't get fooled again, folks. We won't get fooled again.
All right. Good episode, guys.
Bye, everybody. Yeah. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, dudes.
Good stuff.
See you next week.
Peace. Give it up for your boys. Give it up for your boys.